You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. An afternoon drive home like no other.
One of Jerry's favorites is John Ferguson Jr. Because the Ferglar's incompetence parked the Leafs in a ditch for a decade.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The Maple Leaf pregame coming up in half an hour, so an abbreviated Overdrive for us. The O-Dog is off to do the panel. He's got the game tonight on TSN 4. The Florida Panthers are in town. There's a rookie in net. And I feel like we're jinxing them because at least I am. I'm sitting here waiting for the Maple Leafs to just, you know, burst through the door offensively because they've been pretty snake-bitten. You know, I don't have a problem with their overall game recently. I really don't. I mean, no. I thought they were the better team on Saturday against New York.
Yep.
But that goes without saying. Of course you're going to be the better team than New York. You know, the Rangers are tanking.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be amping up. You're at home. You know, you had a couple of days off. Can a goalie get hot like Georgiev did? Yes. Mm-hmm. He's done it to them twice where they had a ton of chances, a ton of shots, and they just couldn't bury. But now you carry that over to tonight. Okay, you played that bullet on Saturday night. Like, tonight should be one of those games where you secure your 2 points. You know, I've been saying this for a few days. Get 2 points tonight. Secure like 3 or 4 wins in a row against bad teams, and that's the schedule that they're dealing with right now.
Right.
And just get the X beside your name, breathe, and really start amping up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because until you have the X, there's going to be just a little bit of trepidation.
Well, what's
a little bit?
You think the Leafs will start on the Thursday?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah. I think that's what's happened the last 2 years.
So that puts them at April 11th.
Yeah. So they'll go Thursday, Saturday.
It's 2.5 weeks from now.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to get the X is going to happen soon, but it's ramping up. It's health. It's confidence. It's all of those things. And, you know, the Bruins are playing Tampa tonight. I'm going to have my eye on that game. I don't know why. I just think it'll be good hockey.
Well, it's two of the best teams in the league.
Good hockey.
Why wouldn't it be?
But, I mean, as far as playoff ramifications, you know, the points I don't think matter to either one of them. It's more, you know, how they match up. But that'll be one to track. But the Leafs now, 2.5 weeks from now, the thing I'm tracking is it's nice to see Dermott back. Like, it sounds like Dermott is somewhat very close.
I would expect by the weekend he's playing.
Okay, so that's, you know, a couple more games away. Jake Gardner, be nice to get him. Maybe in the next 10 days?
I think I've reached the point where I feel like he's going to play in the playoffs.
Oh, right? I think so, too.
I'm not expecting him to miss any playoff games. Now, I don't know how comfortable he's going to be, how effective he's going to be. He's going to have to fight through some pain. But we dealt with that with Kyle Lowry last night. You know, Kyle was honest, and he said, I'm banged up. You know, I've rolled a couple of ankles here. It's never going to be perfect, probably at any point the rest of the year.
But it's,
but I got to play through it.
Yeah, it's pain management and also, you know, seeing how you feel, timing, all of that. I would be shocked if Gardner didn't at least get one game before the playoffs. I think that would be their target.
Well, and they're calling up Callie Rosen next weekend. That's what Babcock said today. And he hasn't tasted the NHL in a couple of years, right? Like, when he first came up, remember, he was kind of going back and forth with Borgman a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And then they clearly decided he's not ready. And by all accounts, during that Calder Cup run last year, he was their best defenseman.
Yeah.
Like, he was playing a ton. He was playing in every situation. This year, he's played pretty well when he's been healthy. But I would temper your expectations, especially this time of year. He's coming up. He doesn't really know the inner workings of the NHL.
He's not taking Ron Hainsey out of the lineup.
Exactly.
He's
going to step in until Gardner comes back.
Right.
When Gardner returns, it's right back to the top six that we've been waiting for.
Now, could he squeak in as a six?
But who's coming out? Dermott?
Nope.
Gardner?
Nope.
He's not taking Zaitsev out. Are you talking Jake Muzzin?
No.
So who's coming out?
I'm missing... So Hainsey? Yeah, I guess no. I thought Ozhagonov was in there, but he'll be... Ozhagonov.
They've taken him out even tonight. Yeah. Ozhagonov is not playing.
Marty Marintz.
Marty Marintzen will not be playing.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And Justin Hall's not going to play when everyone's healthy.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah, you're right. He's just a stopgap.
which is fine. I'm curious to see him play. Yeah. You know, they gave him an extension for next year. He's a part of their plans.
For sure.
You know, if Gardner leaves in the summer, if Hainsey retires, that's a lot of minutes and two of your top four guys
and
that
some
are
money
gonna be
off,
leaving.
The money coming off the books that you're gonna need that deal potentially to start the season with.
Absolutely.
Because you've got to sign Marner, you've got to figure out if Gardner's money comes off the books and you have a guy like Rosen on paper in a slot somewhere in there, Dermott goes up, Rosen stays down in a third pairing situation, you got to find money for Johnsen, you got to find money for Kapanen. I was asked today in Vancouver, like, you know, I do Vancouver radio, and they were saying, like, do you think the Leafs can keep both of them, Johnsen and Kapanen? I said, well, I believe in today's era, you keep who you believe you can keep. And you've got to be creative. That's where, maybe it's a scenario where they're looking at, you know, you give Nick Petan an extension because you know what he's going to slot financially. Rosen's another guy. You may start the season looking like that a little bit different to make sure that other players can fit in.
I think they're going to keep both those guys. I think it's more like
absolutely.
Why would they run into unless they get offer sheeted?
That's the only issue. The thought process out there is what would it take to try and, or would you try and trade for a player if you could take? There were so many. I mean, that's the one thing outside this market. People start to look at it and say, "Well, that's a talented team. Are they going to be able to keep everyone? If they can't, how could we pry that player X out of that?"
Well, and as much as you know, I wouldn't want to see this happen because I like this guy personally and I like his story, but I think Connor Brown is probably in the most trouble just because of the position he plays.
And financially.
And because of the position he plays and where he's going to be slotted in the lineup, then his cap number is screaming at you.
Right.
Because on the right side, they're loaded.
Right.
Marner, Nylander, and Kapanen are going to play above and beyond what Connor Brown is going to play. Okay. So $2.1 million on your fourth line...
Yeah,
it's just not feasible.
Well,
you know, you just can't have it.
Depending on what Marner garners.
But even with that.
What I'm saying is you get Marner, whatever, nine something, whatever. Something high. It's going to be high. What if Kapanen wants something with a five in it? Now and then you've got a guy at 9, 7, and 5.
Well, that's where it's going to get dicey. And right. That's where Patrick Marleau's number and Brown's number, you know, there's other guys that are on the books.
Right.
That are going to make it, you know,
but that's
there's going to be a lot of juggling there. But I think if you skate through the offer sheet problems,
right,
then you're going to squeeze Kapanen. Like, you know, at some point, you're going to... Now, he might play the William Nylander. I'm hanging out in Helsinki. Call me on November 30th.
Right, right.
And if he does that, then you're going to have to trade him this time or make him sit.
And Johnsen may be in the same situation.
He has arbitration rights, though. So he'll file or the team will file. So you're going to have a number on him.
You'll
That's my understanding. So by the end of July or mid-August, you're going to know what the number is. Now, if it is too high, then before camp, you might have to either move him or move something else. But Kapanen doesn't have that right.
Yeah, he doesn't have the... He's in the Nylander boat.
He's in the Nylander boat with a lot less term, you know, in terms of what he's actually done in the NHL.
Yeah, a lot less.
Like, he's had a great year, but this is 1 year. I know he's come up in the past.
One full year.
But one full year. Nylander had like 3 full years.
And you knew he was
in the organization. Or two full years. Two full years where you saw it. 60-plus points, playing with Matthews.
Yep.
Kapanen, it's one.
Yeah.
Which I think takes leverage away from the player.
It does. It's nice to... And the other thing that I think has to be thought of if you're a manager is you're not far away from expansion. So you're going to have to be looking ahead as to... You know, what's that formula going to look like? And what player X, what am I going to do as far as protection moving forward? That's one thing that may factor in as well. And I think they'll be fine. I'm just saying that has to be on a manager's mind too, is, you know, this upcoming season and then moving forward 2 years from now. And that's why the depth of your organization is critical, and guys on contracts that are I guess, cap-friendly, and then you've got your core. So
that's where the game's going, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you're going to have a fourth line where all three players make under $1 million.
Yeah, whether it's entry-level or a veteran guy who's making $700.
Tyler Ennis making $700.
Yeah.
A third pairing where they're making under $1 million, and a backup goalie under $1 million. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the way it's going to be. And the 13th forward and 7th defenseman, they're all going to be under $1 million. So you're going to rack up about 7 or 8 roster spots.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost you about $6 million.
And that's,
but that's how you have to build your team now.
You're going to have to do that. And that, but that's not going to be just exclusive to the Leafs.
No,
and
Tampa's like, going to do it. They're all going to do it.
You've got to do it. That's going to be the formula. And then you work backwards from it.
Did you see the Jays are in Montreal tonight? And I don't know if they're expecting. I don't think it's going to be anywhere close to a sellout. I don't think it would be even if Vladdy was there. But if Guerrero was there, they'd sell way more tickets.
Right.
But he's not. But this generally kind of marks the beginning of the season. Like, I know on Thursday it's the real thing, so it's not like we're that far off.
Right.
But I find once they break camp and they're back in the country and they're in Montreal and there's a lot of Toronto media that just drives up to Montreal as opposed to flying down to Florida.
Right.
It feels like the beginning of the season. And there's nothing
no
in
buzz.
The city right now.
No
there's
buzz.
Really nothing. And I'm not surprised by that. I think in large part because of the past 2 years, because the expectations are so low, but really it's because of Vladdy.
Yeah.
Which
Vladdy was playing, and they broke camp, and he's sitting up in Montreal tonight.
It would be huge. It would be a massive story.
Mm-hmm.
Watching him at the Big O tonight, back in his hometown where he was born in Montreal, and then coming home for a day game on Thursday, first pitch I think is 3:37. You could feel it.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be there. He would not have been there even if he was healthy, and that's I think had a significant effect on the lack of. Of buzz, but you see, this is such a ridiculous story, and it's such a 2019 story, but Marcus Stroman started following Aaron Sanchez on Instagram again.
Oh,
so now people are trying to...
They're buddies again?
Figure out maybe they're boys again.
See, and
I don't know.
Unless I know what the story was to make him unfollow, then what do I care that he follows him? Because we know how rumors fly. People are like, they're fighting over this, they're fighting over that, it's a girl, it's a, it's where they are in the rotation, it's you know, the guy stole the guy's beer at the bar. Like, we don't know. Everyone thinks they know until we get verification. But I always thought that's a 2019
issue. It is, and I don't expect anyone in the scrum to ask him because they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even suggesting that someone should go up to him and say, hey, can you just tell us again why you started following Aaron Sanchez again on Instagram? But it is like an exclusively social media story.
It's newsworthy, though.
It's newsworthy because everyone has believed for the past year and a half that these two, I guess, have had a falling out because when they were coming up, they were best friends. You know, everything was Sanchez and Stroman. And then something broke off, and I don't know what it was, but obviously, you know, fences have been mended here to the point where Marcus Stroman is willing to reach out via a following on Instagram.
I think that's so petty, but that's
the world we live in. The follow-unfollow causes more stirs and more fights
Cleveland
in the real world.
Wasn't LeBron and, not Tristan Thompson, one of them unfollowed LeBron, and it was like a big story.
Yeah, was it? I don't think it was Kyrie Irving.
Was it Kyrie at the time? Yes, it was Kyrie Irving that unfollowed LeBron near the end, and people were going nuts, saying like that there's friction in the dressing room.
But you know why it is? I understand why it becomes a story for people, or people are connected to it because you can relate to it. Everyone has been in this spot. I can't follow this person anymore.
Yes.
They're driving me nuts.
Yeah.
So if you go out of your way, and you have to go out of your way to do it.
Instagram doesn't have a mute button, right?
No, and Instagram doesn't lie. If you're following someone, there's a reason you're following that person.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I know exactly what that reason is. You don't know that person,
right?
But she looks great, and she posts provocative posts.
Right.
So you're not fooling anybody when you're following some Instagram model.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we all know why you're following that girl.
But
and vice versa.
I wish Instagram had a mute button. Because there's some people that I enjoy on Instagram, and other people I don't, but they're my friends, and I want to mute them because I don't want to see what they're eating for breakfast.
But exactly. Why don't you want to just unfollow them?
Because I
you
still
know they're going to get disappointed.
But I care about their life, too. Like I
clearly not that much. I mean, if you're going to mute them, you're not going to just selectively pick out some
I've got
posts.
A buddy who is quite successful in the business world. But I think he's got, let's say, 400 followers on Instagram. He's got that Instagram story, and he talks to it. Morning, everyone. Beautiful day today.
That's really annoying.
You go on it, and it's throughout the day. Him at night pouring himself or doing something, and how are you doing today, everyone? Like, everyone. Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
I guess you're talking to the 400 people that know you, but I wish there was a mute button because you want to get to the next story.
Which, like, I can understand, but what I'm saying is I think the human element here is, you know, if you unfollow that guy, he's going to be rattled.
But it's friends off if I unfollow him, because he'll see that and go, why the hell is Noodles unfollowing
me? That's my point. And that's why when Stroman unfollowed Sanchez, everyone knew something was going on between these two guys. Because you don't do that without understanding that you're going to be causing a problem.
But if I was close enough with this guy, he lives in a different city, different country. If I was close enough with him, I'd lean over to him and go, like, I don't need to see.
You got to stop. It's really annoying.
You're killing me. I don't need to see every hour of your day. But I'm not close enough with him, and I feel like that could fracture the friendship. So
yeah.
I tolerate it. Whereas on Twitter, you can just mute somebody. You never see what they say again. That's it. They're gone.
Which I love. It's an outstanding invention.
You've seen my Twitter analytics.
You're breaking records.
Yeah, it's just I enjoy people, but there's other people you're like, I can't do it. I can't see what this guy has to say.
TSN 1050's Up Close and Unfiltered series is returning just in time for the playoffs, and it's all happening at Toronto's Amsterdam Brewhouse right down on the Queen's Quay, which is TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. On Monday, April 8th, join your favorite 1050 personalities for a night of Maple Leaf and Raptors hot takes. No charge or tickets are required. No tickets are required to show up on April 8th before 8 p.m. and get ready to hang out with everyone from TSN Radio.
I've got breaking news. Gurdeep just sent me a note and said you can mute people's stories.
Is that right?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
He like actually talked me through. Press and hold on their story circle. A mute option will come up.
I'm doing it because I'm with you. There are people that every day, 15 different stories posted. Not necessary. When you get married, when you have a kid, I'm on it. I'll watch it. I'll rewatch it.
Yeah.
But I don't need to see, hey, I'm at Pearson again.
Yeah.
What's up with the booster juice? You know, I don't care. Nobody cares about
that
stuff.
That's a great tip. So you learn something every day.
Shout out to our boy Gurdeep.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement tomorrow. And you and I were both a little bit skeptical of this because his agent went on ESPN this morning and said, and basically painted somewhat of a picture for him to be lured back to New England. You know, he was being a little bit coy, but basically suggesting, if Tom Brady were to call up in week 7 or 8 and say, we could really use you, maybe Rob would be willing to come back. If your agent is opening up that door or just leaving it open just a sliver, then Gronk and he have spoken that, have talked about that.
That conversation's been had.
That conversation has been had. It has been banked, and it is a legitimate possibility.
It wouldn't surprise me if Belichick has had that up his sleeve. Like, Gronk, go. Go and take a few months off, and
but then why go through this whole, you know, 3-ring circus of announcing the retirement and the Instagram post?
But go back to your theory on the Bobby Kraft
about a distraction.
Hey, come and look over here, because we don't want to see.
Wouldn't that be a bombshell of a story if they had worked out this plan like weeks ago?
Because you know, before it got broken, Bobby Kraft probably knew he was getting charged or knew something. Like, it was probably close.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was tipped off that, hey, you know, there's some stuff going on here. There's a lot of buzz, you know, around the bureau or the cop station or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And a guy of that type of power and esteem in society is probably going to have
somebody
people willing to whisper
up
to him.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even this plan with Gronkowski, where maybe after the year, after the season came to an end, he sat down with Belichick and they said, listen, or he said, listen, I can't play 16 games. I can't. I think I can play the final 7 or 8, maybe.
Yeah, give me half a season.
Into the playoffs, and I'm not going to practice all the time. Is that something you'd be willing to accept? And I'll bet you Belichick said, absolutely. but keep it between us, and let's work out a plan in terms of how we're going to announce this and how we're going to deal with it. And that's where the conspiracy
the minute theories, that Bobby Kraft gets pinched. Here's our plan.
Here's our plan. You know, we were going to announce it after the draft or at the draft or during the first OTA, but let's kind of throw our owner a bone here and get him off the front pages and go out and announce your retirement, even though we know it's not an official retirement.
It's a wink, wink.
It's a wink, wink, and you're going to return at some point.
I could see that.
But, you know, if he does hang him up, he's going into the Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He'll join Gale Sayers and Jim Brown as the only first ballot Hall of Famers who didn't play into their 30s because he's 29. He's had nine spectacular years. You know, I think the big story and the big debate in the football world right now is what will he be remembered for? You know, what's his legacy? Is it on the field or off the field? And I said this earlier, I don't think you can disconnect the two because of the team he plays on. The fact that he had the ability to be a character and feel as if he was kind of doing his own thing under the umbrella of Bill Belichick and Brady, because Brady's crazy about this kind of stuff too, like paying attention to detail, regimented schedule, all that kind of stuff. For Gronkowski to be known as a personality on that team, you can't look past that.
No.
But if you're the greatest player in history at your position, you're always going to be remembered for what you do on the field.
Yeah,
like, how do you not, you know, it's like Joe Namath. Like, Namath was Broadway Joe, and he had the girls and the fur coats, but he also guaranteed they were going to win Super Bowl III. You can't forget that.
It tied together. It's the package. That's the one thing I look at when it comes to Gronk. Like, you're right, this guy was an animal on the field, but he lived just as hard off the field.
By all accounts, he did whatever he wanted to do when it was an off day, but when it was an on day, he was there. He was never late.
But that's,
he was in shape.
But that's, I think that's why Belichick had no problem with it. If he was Johnny Manziel and wasn't delivering, or would show up hungover, or show up, like you say, out of shape, or just couldn't perform, you don't get away with that.
Or had teammates turning on him. By all accounts, everyone loved this guy.
Yeah.
Like the consummate pro, but also the epitome of a team-first guy.
Yeah.
And would bring everyone into the fold, right? Like, let's go party together.
He's a star, but a glue guy.
Exactly. Like it's,
you know, that's what you want to be around that. He's probably got a personality that's so infectious. He walks into the room, like, guys probably dial it up. Because you know he's front and center, too.
Well, he caught more touchdown passes from Brady than any other receiver. Yeah. When Brady goes into the hall, you know who he's thanking.
I've got a feeling we're going to be discussing it like week four, going, Brady needs Gronk back.
Yeah.
That's going to be a storyline.
I wouldn't be surprised either because they got some holes they got to fill here.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I'm on the Leafs home plus tonight. I think they win and win big. Pittsburgh at the Rangers, I'm on the Pens. In Vegas, paying 210 in St. Louis. I'll take Vegas. Throw down 20. You can score 109. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. All right, the Tapman and Greg Gilbert coming up live from Scotiabank for the pregame. Puck drop at 7 right here on TSN Radio. You can watch it on TSN 4. We've been in the new studio today.
Yeah, feels good.
I think everything went off without a hitch for the most part.
Pretty good, yeah.
So I'm assuming we'll be back in here tomorrow.
Let's hope.
Yeah, unless they just fire us.
If they have us back.
Yeah, we'll walk out there. They're like, actually, that was terrible, and you're done.
Yeah, HR's waiting for us.
Yeah. So that's always a possibility. But if we're lucky enough, we'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.